Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of That Sounds Fun. Welcome to September. I'm your host, Annie F. Downs. I'm really happy to be here with you today. We have got a great show in store. Hey, and just a reminder that tickets are on sale now for the That Sounds Fun podcast tour. We're getting to come to three coasts, Gulf Coast, East Coast, West Coast. I cannot wait. You're going to hear today's guest and I talk about it a lot, about the world of touring. Y'all, I cannot wait to be out and see you guys again. It's going to be safe and fun and full of all the best things. Go to anniefdowns.com/events for all the details, and you can grab your tickets today. I'm so glad to have our friend back on the show. Bear Reinhart is here from Grammy Award-winning rock band Need to Breathe. They have a new single out featuring Carrie Underwood called I Wanna Remember, and their new album, Into the Mystery, is incredible. They're headed out on tour this fall, just like me. I mean, I'm hitting 13 cities. They're hitting 38, so it's a little different for their Into the Mystery tour with support from Switchfoot and the newer Specs. I would like to be at all 38 of those. I hope I'll get to be at three. I absolutely love Need to Breathe, and y'all know Bear is one of our favorite people around here. We loved having him here last year on episode 240. Can't wait for you to hear what else is going on with him and the guys from Need to Breathe. So here is my conversation with Bear Reinhart. Okay, wait, Bear. Now we're going to talk about this tattoo thing. You want to get a bunch?
I think a bunch, yeah. And I want to get my first funny one.
Oh my gosh, I've never thought about getting a funny tattoo. What are you going to do?
It's going to be, I'm going to get one that says, I bleed banjo.
It is funny.
It is funny. Like it. And anyone who knows me knows that that could not be serious.
Yeah.
But I'm going to get it like really 80s style, like banjo, like where the end of the banjo looks like a sword going into my skin. There's blood dripping out.
Oh my gosh. Where are you going to, on your arm where we can see you keep touching your arm?
I think so. I'm going to do some on my hands, I think.
Okay.
I'm all in at this point.
I have a friend who has them on his hands, and when he leaves a voicemail, he says, "Hey, this is David. This is David, your friend with the tattoos on his hands." I'm like, I know.
It's kind of a thing. It's like, I really have come to the conclusion I'm never going to have a real job.
And that was what was holding you back.
I turned 40, and I was like, "Well, I guess accountant is out of my whatever it is.
Office job is not going to be mine.
Probably not going to work out. Yep.
How many do you have right now?
I don't know, actually.
Okay. So it's more than a count.
Six or seven.
Okay. Because to me, I have three. And going from zero to one felt like me and God had to have, like, quiet times about it. Like, it felt like such a thing. And then after you go from zero to one, it's just like, when do I have the time and the money to keep going?
And it's just like an accessory that's always there. You don't have to put it on, which is what I like.
Do you know what? I have a very, very short list of things that matter to me and the person I end up with. And one of them is tattoos because I think it says that something mattered to you enough.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
And so it's just like you, something mattered to you enough that it's there forever. But mine, have we talked about this? Mine are white. So they're all right here, but they're white.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
That's killer. I've never seen that.
And so, yeah, people don't love doing it. Tattoo artists don't love it. Because they're like, oh, really? You want just something invisible that I spent 2.5 hours on? And I'm like, I do. And my money is the same color as everybody else's money.
Exactly.
So, but I'm ready to go to four. But the problem is, from one to two was like years. From two to three was year. From three to four is like, I thought of it 2 days ago and I'm ready for it this weekend.
Yeah. I've got it actually scheduled on the tour to have tattoo artists come to the venue.
Oh my gosh.
So we're just super campy right now. The band is, we're all having a good time together. So we're deciding like, we're going to get a tour tattoo. We're getting a joke tattoo. Yes. Everybody's in. So.
I look through your tour. I'm new to touring. We're going to talk about it. But your tour looks so fun. It's huge. It's going to be all fall.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, some of these places, like I've had one before at a venue one time in LA under the Greek.
Yeah.
So like big dressing rooms and stuff like that underneath. I think that's just something crazy about that. It's also a super adrenaline rush to get one like right before you play.
Oh my gosh. Right. It's going to burn.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you're out there in front of everybody and then you're scabbing for the rest of the tour.
Yep.
Are you like, okay, when we're in Seattle in September, I know a guy there.
Yeah.
Or did you just say to your tour manager, I want four?
No. It's mostly the guys in the band. Okay. Guys in the band knew people from different cities.
Okay.
We've got a guy, Tyler Burkham, who's in the band now from Minneapolis, and he's got his guy that he's going to have.
I've known Tyler Burkham for so long via the internet. Oh my gosh, yes. So when I saw he joined the band, I was like, well, that makes tons of sense, and B, what a great dude.
Oh man, he's insane.
Yeah.
So good. And first, I saw him the first time he was 17, so I guess I must have been 17 or 16, because he was in Audio Adrenaline.
Yeah.
Like, as a kid.
Yeah,
really.
As a kid, right.
And I remember seeing him at a venue, and they did a cover of Free Ride or something, like some classic rock song, and he was playing it. And I was like, that guy's the coolest guy I've ever. So it's been good to get to know him over the years. And the way this worked out has been awesome. Totally fortunate.
Yeah, tell the story. Tell how he ended up.
Yeah, he's been around because like we had him come in and play on the last record as an extra guitar player. My brother,
the one in 2020?
Yeah. And my brother had left the band and was kind of like, okay, we obviously are going to have to get another guitar player. We've always had a couple of guys sometimes tour with us. And he was just one of those dudes, like, he's a tone. It's very nerdy to talk about, but like in the guitar world, he's like very well known for that. Such a good player, but also just the sounds he gets and everything, really creative. And I loved working with him. We ended up writing a song together for Out of Body. And then, and he's just the kind of guy, like when I say play something like this, he never does, which I love. You know, he's like, well, I could, but what about this?
I hear what you're saying. I'm going to offer a better.
He's just a true artistic guitar player, which is not necessarily, it feels like sometimes you can play with a guitar player in a room and nothing happens.
Yeah.
Like they're playing, but I can't tell a difference.
Yeah.
And he's one of those guys just like pushes us that way. And it's been so sweet, I think, for him and like where he is at in his life. Like he's got burned, you know, in the past with some bands and things like that. So I think it was just a really sweet time for us and him personally. So it really got built off of us hanging out and kind of like, you know, talking family and all those kind of things. So,
isn't that it, man? The people that are on the bus with you and on the road with you, like you're on, I'm only on stage on my show. Our show is 2.5 hours. That means there are 21 and a half hours, if I'm doing my math quickly, where I'm living with these people and we are not on stage.
Yeah.
And so that matters to me. The hang, I want you to be pretty good at your job and a great hang versus great at your job and a terrible hang.
No question.
Right.
Yeah. And it's, that's not always a, like a thing you can do. Cause it's like, if you start a new project, it's like, oh, I'll get all new people that, and I can judge them that way.
Right.
But we've been a band that for 20 years.
Yeah.
So obviously I can't do anything about Seth or.
You're stuck with Seth.
But it was the, you know what I mean? It was just a really interesting thing that we kind of got to that place all at the same time. And now our crew feels the same way. It just feels like, we enjoy hanging out more than we do anything else, you know? And so it feels like...
How many buses are y'all?
Three.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is going to be shop talk for everybody. Hey, everybody, welcome to Shop Tour Shop Talk with Bear and Annie. How much control do you have as the band of... Do you interview everyone before they go out with you? Do you sit down and have a beer with everyone before they go out with you? Like, I'm trying to figure out how hands-on am I and the tour crew?
Thankfully, not anymore. I kind of have people that we trust to help hire you know? And I feel like that was been a huge, we have a, when we were touring with Taylor Swift back in the day, her manager came up to us and was like, the number one thing you got to get is a production manager. Like, you know, managers are important. They're incredibly important for the business and all those things. But like, if you're a band and wants to be good on tour, you need a production manager who can handle all that, all the details of what, especially a band like us who puts up way too many lights and all the, you know,
bells and whistles all over the place.
We spend way too much money.
So
I think that's, and so we found that really like a kind of lifer, it feels like.
Yeah.
And so I can, he knows if I'm going to like the person or not or those kind of things, which is kind of sweet. So not anymore, but used to for sure.
Yeah.
But what can you tell from a conversation, though?
That's everybody's a problem. Like, we still don't know what they're going to be like at 8 a.m. or 8 p.m.
Right. Totally.
But it is. I mean, when I think about tour, we just did our first 3-week run of like my headlining tour.
Yeah.
Right. So it's brand new for me.
Yeah.
I've been out on the road with people, but this is a new thing where I'm the boss. and so I think the thing I've prayed about the most is who is on the crew with us.
Yeah.
Because
sure.
It just, I feel, I wonder if you feel this. I have felt this real like responsibility of their health when they're with, when they're under my wings for those 3 weeks. I don't want them to be worse when we're done.
Yeah, totally.
Right?
And
is
I feel
that part of the thing?
Okay. I think it is. I think it's tricky because, you know, some of my friends, like Johnny Swim was a good example of like, they're just like a community of family on the road. And I personally can't be on that much.
Yes.
I'm not, I mean, Abner just really likes to hear himself talk. But
he was just on, and everybody, I mean,
such a sweet dude.
I
love him. And but like, he can just carry that all day long.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm like, I need a little bit of time to get ready for the shows and those kind of things.
Yeah.
So, like, as the band has gotten bigger, I think when we left one bus, that was the big, like, oh, we've got to figure out how to do this a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was really like, okay.
Because one bus, you're stuck. Y'all are going to hang.
Yeah, exactly.
And be
no matter what.
Because you're jazzed after a show and no one's going to bed.
So it became about putting those people in charge that were like, they could kind of help that. Like, I can't know.
Oh, God,
we've got 30 some people on the road.
Right.
So I don't, it's hard for me to know how they're all doing and all those kind of things. And so that got tricky at one point and it got to where, so it's great to have a guy who's like the crew guy, the production manager comes to me and he's like, listen, they're not getting enough rest. We've got to make, you know, load in shorter. If you want these guys happy, this is how.
Wow.
They need to eat better. They need any of those kind, you know what I mean? That kind of thing. So I do think I feel the responsibility, but luckily it's there's some other voices that are empowered in our camp to help with that.
Okay. As my tour gets bigger, I'm gonna be calling you and being like, what do I do next?
Let's do it.
How do I handle because I care so much. I mean, I think what God, when we're done touring, I think God will care how many people showed up and the impact and all that stuff.
Sure.
But I think the thing he's really going to ask me about is the people that were on the bus with me.
Yeah.
Did they feel loved and cared for and that we had built a thing for them that felt like they were better for it? I mean, I say from the minute someone signs up with us, I say, I want you to be healthier in every way when this is done.
Yeah.
So you just tell me what you need.
Yeah.
Do you need more time to work out? Do you need different food? Do you need some, do you need more space? Do you need, I mean, I you still have to work, but I want you to be healthier when we're done.
That's huge. I had this conversation with Toby Mack actually a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And I went up to him because like when I was a kid, I saw them like with this big production thing and he went solo and he was just so great at the touring thing.
Mm-hmm,
like
regardless
of what you think of the music or whatever, it's like, it was a big show.
Right.
I just was like, man, it's so great. How do you do it? And he, I mean, what he didn't hesitate at all. He's like, how it is backstage, it is on stage.
Mm.
And he's like, you got to worry about the culture behind the stage. If you're having fun, it's going to take care of itself.
I mean, that is true. That is true here at the office. What happens here, it plays out on my Instagram and on the stage. Like, people know. I mean, it's probably true in your home, right? Like, what's healthy at home plays out.
It's hard to be, it's hard to be an artist putting stuff out there if the things that are going in aren't great, you know?
Right. Does that make you pay attention to what you watch and listen to and eat? I guess, I mean, like,
I think so. Maybe in different ways than you think, but like, but yes, I think so. I feel a great responsibility to be on the fringes.
Yeah.
I think the band was built around that. This whole idea of the outsiders, like, who are we speaking to? And just for our band, like, we always felt like it was a little off the mainstream of who we're talking to. So maybe they don't like going to church, or maybe they don't, whatever, like organized religion even, or maybe they don't, you know, just, and so I think for me, trying to stay culturally relevant with those kind of things is really important to me. So, and I think there's something that adds to the art, you know, with that. So like, I probably like weirder movies than most people or those kind of, I feel like I do. That's feels like a responsibility for me. But sure. I think in terms of the personal health, it's been massive over the last 4 or 5 years for me, the therapy and all the things I've gone through in order to kind of like, that's made a huge difference. That I probably wouldn't have realized coming out of school. I mean, when we first started a band, I was coming out of playing football and it was just like, we're just going to dominate. Doesn't matter. That's basically our mindset. It was pretty simple. And so now it definitely feels like we just went back and changed all of our mission statement stuff with the band and all that to include quality of life. Because we just felt like, man, it's just such a, it seems like the last thing we're talking about. And this break, the pandemic and all that time just really gave us a chance to, think about what matters and even where the inspiration comes from.
Yeah.
Which I think was huge with this record as an example. It came out of a place that I don't think could have happened if we didn't slow down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we were forced into this you know, house of mirrors for a while. And it was like, okay. Now we can make art of it. And then looking back, I go, man, it would have been impossible to do that if I was in a hurry or if we'd had the next thing scheduled or whatever. So a lot of that, I think we're trying to take into the future.
As a person, do you run at the speed limit, above the speed limit, below the speed limit?
I'm above, always.
Okay. Me too. And so I'm having a lot of conversations with myself and God and some up close relationships about how my speed limit affects other people.
Yeah.
And so when you talk about writing a mission statement, that's a slow down thing to me, right? Where we have to put our brakes on. And it's why, I mean, my guess is your wife is probably not above the speed limit.
No, she's a contemplator for sure.
Yeah. And so I have people, one of my number two here at work, she is speed limit. So she is a governor for me.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. So I wonder if this record also came out of, from what you're saying, like the world just made us, you and I and people that run at our speed, not get to do that.
Yeah. And I think it, I mean, it forced me to think like, you know, do I like this being at home? And do I, you know what I mean? It just, that's what I mean. I think by the House of Mirrors thing, it just, I feel a lot of times like I should be enjoying this. I'm at home. Mm-hmm. The weather's great. My kids are healthy. Yeah. And I have all these things. I've been blessed in so many. Thank you. Blessed in so many ways. But like for some reason, I'm miserable. I just want to get out of here. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. You know, this feeling of rebelliousness or restlessness is probably a better thing. And so, yeah, I felt that. And this was like, look, this you're here. Like you need to start enjoying this life and think about the blessings that you have. And so I tried to do that as much as I could when I was writing these songs.
So when you sat down, I told you that it, according to my math, you were here 1 year ago, almost on the nose. This show releases last year. It came out on September 3rd. Today's September 1st. So
that's insane.
We are right on. What do you know about God that you didn't know last time you were sitting here?
That's a good question. I think probably the toughest part, maybe I knew it in some way, but that timing thing is such a big deal. I think about like what we're prepared to handle. I think blessings especially.
Keep going. You're about to preach straight to me. And if I cry, we're going to stay friends.
Okay. I think for me, I always felt like our band, you know, I say always, but a lot of times, I always felt like when do we get the break? Like we work really hard and we get some level of like gradual success or those kind of things. But when does the thing just fall out of the sky?
Right.
When is it a gift? Right. You know, when is it not something that we did?
When is it a gift? Barry,
pop
the brakes, man. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, I felt like that this time. There was just several things that felt like that. We made decisions that were not well informed. You know, they were just like, they were, you know, that we
got right. Yeah. They just felt right.
Yeah.
In your
I
guts?
Mean, we were trying to make a new record, right? So quick after another one. And
yeah,
the
you
label,
told us when you were here last time, you told me that y'all were getting ready to go on another
The label
record.
Literally was like, why would we do that? We can't put the record out. Mm-hmm. We're not giving you the money to do it. So we just made up an excuse, really.
Yeah.
We're like, well, we'll go to this house and we'll tape episodes and then we'll bring a film crew, you know, we'll do that. And it'll all come out like one song at a time. We'll have a guest on every song. And they got excited enough to be like, okay, here's the budget.
Yeah.
And, but when we got there, we immediately knew that's not what this was. This was like our band really going down a total new direction, something we needed to do therapeutically for ourselves.
Wow.
And also, and it was just more fun than we could ever have. And it, I guess my point is like the circumstances made that thing possible. And it felt like every day, whoa, I can't believe we're here. I can't believe we're here. I can't believe this is still going so well. I can't believe we're enjoying this as much, you know? And as the record kind of came out, like the stuff, the Carrie Underwood thing was a good example of that. It's like you can't imagine how many times we've asked for somebody like that to do something. You know what I mean? And the answer is always no, or the timing's not right. It's like, we love the music, but whatever.
Just FYI, I haven't gotten the email where you wanted me to sing.
Okay.
So it's not everybody. You haven't asked everybody that sings like Carrie Underwood. But go ahead. Yeah, it's all
so she. Yeah. But just that, you know, getting that back as a, I'd love to do it. And, you know, those kind of things felt very much like a blessing to me.
Yeah.
And I literally think we were not prepared as a culture to handle that kind of thing at the time. You know, not, and I don't even mean like fame and all this. I just mean like we were just, there was a lot of unrest in our band. And anytime somebody came around, they could feel it and it was awkward and it was just tough to work with. It was like, and so I think now kind of being in that different place where it does feel like we can receive a gift like that is really, really sweet. So I guess it's making me a little more patient for those other moments to come. I don't know what else we have to learn before, you know, some of those blessings come around. But I feel very thankful.
Hey friends, just interrupting this conversation real quick to share about another one of our incredible partners, Third Love. As summer begins to wind down, I'm loving these breezy evenings, having dinner with friends or cheering on our Nashville SC team or dreaming of going to a Need to Breathe show. No matter where I'm headed or what the plans are, top of my list is comfort, which is one of the reasons I can't get enough of Third Love. Third Love creates high-quality underwear, sleep, and loungewear, bringing you life-changing comfort your body loves being in. With cup sizes from AA through I, including exclusive half cups, and loungewear and sleepwear in sizes extra small to 3X, get ready to feel good, my friends. I'm a big fan of the Let's ask the right questions on the front end to get the best results the first time approach. And that's exactly what Third Love's Fitting Room Quiz provides. It's like a personal shopper, but better. I answered several detailed questions online without any awkwardness from the comfort of my own house. And then Third Love helped me know the perfect size and style for me. I am here for bras and underwear that are comfortable, well-fitting, and confidence-boosting. Third Love obsesses over each stitch, so you never have to think about how something feels, looks, or wears. While trends come and go, Third Love has always stayed true to one notion. They do comfort, you do you. They have a new line called Form that's a seamless collection of wireless bras and form-fitting undies with limitless stretch and endless comfort that effectively disappears under your clothes. But if you're looking for more support, Third Love's number one best-selling 24/7 classic t-shirt bra provides all the comfort and support you need in more than 80 sizes, and every Third Love bra is made with signature memory foam cups, no slip straps, and a scratch-free band. Third Love knows you deserve to feel comfortable and confident 24/7. So right now they're offering my friends 20% off your first order. So go to thirdlove.com/soundsfun right now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 20% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/soundsfun for 20% off today. And now back to our conversation with Bear. The next question I want to ask is going to tell you everything you don't know yet about me, but I want to be like, what are the steps that made you peaceful enough? But that's the trick, right? There aren't.
Yeah, there aren't. And I just think it was about, man, I tried my own steps for that. Like, I was a real leadership book reader.
Yeah.
And so I just attacked it like, well, we have this problem. We got to fix this.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, five problems with a business, you know, that you, whatever.
Right.
And I was like, we have all of these. How am I supposed to start with this?
Yeah, where do I start? What's a snowball?
Yeah. And so, and it came back to this thing. It's like, this is really kind of started as a marriage, the way this band was. We were, you know, my brother being in it and all that. And we just changed and grown and not grown and all these different things over the years.
Yeah.
It was a little bit impossible. We were just beating our heads up against the wall. Maybe the easiest thing was like, we all needed some change, and maybe we need to look about what we wanted to do and not like, we don't have to do this. It's not our identity. And maybe stepping away is a good thing, you know? There's definitely no steps. I definitely feel like, I think that we're appreciative now that it's happened, you know, but I can't look back and go like, we made all the right things, you know, trying to get a lot of people healthy at one time. And that's just, at least for me, I've learned that's impossible. You know, people are on cycles of that.
Yeah.
And so it's really tough, I don't know, to get an organization kind of all going one direction. I did meet a mentor probably 4 or 5 years ago. There's a guy named Chad Spencer. It's just in the business world, but also friends with a bunch of my music buddies and all that. And he runs a really big organization that I went and saw him speak. And the band actually played a couple acoustic songs at it. And he shared his vision statement for the year with all his he had 250 people there run his stores that he has.
Oh my gosh.
And he put up his
Waffle House?
No.
I wish. I want to know that guy.
So his personal stories are up there. Or his personal vision statement for his wife, his kids, spiritual stuff, all that. He puts it up on the big screen in front of all these 250 employees. And I was like, I'm not doing that. You know what I mean? That's intense. So that, I think, did start us down like a path of talking about what are we doing here? You know, like, when do we have it wrong? We always say yes to everything. Is that really good?
Yeah.
You know, that part was a process that seems probably obvious for most people. But for me, that started with my own family, like us getting away and doing goals and writing our own mission statement for our family. And then kind of like, I don't know, just led to other things with other guys in the band kind of doing the same thing. And they once you answer that question yourself, your organization, it's a lot easier for me if I could say, what would make you happy in this organization? Most people don't know.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Because no one's ever asked them that.
They don't know. They just don't have their priorities in order to know, like, this is what would really make this satisfying to me. Or, and so I think as we started to do that individual work, a lot of times when we got back together, it's like a lot easier to have that conversation. It's like, oh, that seems... that's totally reasonable and easy for us to pull off.
Yeah, we prioritize. Each of that felt a priority of that in our personal life. So, we'll put that in the band mission statement. Have y'all had a mission statement for a long time? I mean, that's really one of the things I wrote down. I was like, I don't have a mission statement for our tour.
Yeah.
And that might be really helpful.
Yeah, it's super. My thing is always like the goals thing and the mission statement stuff, all that is really about answering questions in the thick of it.
Wow.
You know, when it gets like, I'm tired and I'm overwhelmed and somebody says, do you want to do this? I'm like, I don't know.
You're like, read this. Yeah. Does it say yes to all this?
Let's see if this helps, you know? That's right. It's like a little
Here's
bit of a
filter.
Guide. Yeah. Because that inevitably happens, especially on tours. I mean, talking about that, it's like, you know, we're going to do, I think, 38 shows or so.
You are going to do 38 shows. Okay. I can confirm that based on my information in front of me.
So 38 of those, about show 25 is where it's like, whoa. Like, we've been out a long time, and you start, it's just, my description of the road is just like, it's not reality at all. People do things for you on the road. They like constantly, it's really easy to just get lost. And I don't think we're made for that kind of,
meaning
adulation.
Your spot on the road is not reality, or like the whole experience is not reality.
I think for most of the guys in the band, it's not reality. It's just you walk out every night. It's like, oh, there's 10,000 people that are screaming. Uh-huh. They think we're amazing. You
know? That's what Abner said. He said one on the show. He said one night he put his hat on and said to Amanda, "Will you please just clap for me?"
Yeah, right.
Because it's been so long.
It is. You get used to it, and that certainly is not reality.
Yeah.
And, so I think that's a tough part about a grueling tour. I think you kind of buy into it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you get tired.
Yeah. I mean, physically, especially these full shows that we're doing now,
and you're doing
big production.
Huge venues, dude.
Yeah. Thanks.
I mean, empathy. You're like, yeah, please, everyone come to these shows.
Please.
They
come
will.
Out.
I think you have not a thing to worry about. I mean, you're doing huge amphitheaters. Here, you're doing Bridgestone, which is a huge. Have y'all played? Yeah. Have y'all sold?
We've never headlined it. Nope.
That's
so
bad.
Excited. Yeah.
I'll be there. That is, I mean, after 2020, when we aren't anywhere, and then to launch out in the fall of 21 with an amphitheater arena tour. Are you stoked about it? Are you nervous about
it?
Are you what?
No, we're ready to go. I mean, we're more prepared than we ever have been. We've got a lot of time to think about it. But it's been, and it's also just the organization's in a really good spot where like we can, I mean, we were rehearsing for this 2 months ago. So, and we're doing like a week, 10 days of rehearsal and then taking off a couple of weeks and like listening to the tapes and listening back and like getting all the visual stuff. So I spent all day today so far working on animations for the video screens.
You're building them?
I'm doing some of them, yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it's fun. It's they finally made it where it's easy enough. Like I can send some small file or whatever pretty much and they can use it. And so, yeah, I'm having a blast with that. So it's really just like, we're trying to create an experience. It feels like people haven't been to a concert in a long time.
Yeah.
Like pure, just, we want them to cry, laugh, pure joy, have an experience.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about that. The band got to have an experience like that a couple weeks ago. We went and saw the Black Crows here in Nashville. And
where'd
literally
they play?
At Ascend.
Yeah.
And we're on like, we had good seats. We're on like 10th row or something like that. We literally lost. That was the first rock and roll band I'd seen. You know, and we lost ourselves in it. I mean, we're hugging each other and high-fiving and all this. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
We got in the van after, and Josh, our piano player, he's like, should we go back and like play? And I was like, done.
So
we had been rehearsing. And so we called somebody to let us in to the building at like 1 a.m.
Yes.
And we played for 3 hours. We just jammed.
Oh, my God.
Like we're 16.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of what we have to look forward to in the fall. Yes. It feels like that sort of energy and spirit is.
And that's what you get to give us in the audience.
Oh, man.
Right?
It was fun.
I was supposed to see Garth last weekend.
Yeah.
And it got canceled. For people who don't know, it got canceled because of lightning and thunder. And the thing I feel like I lost the most is I had put in my head, I'll sing every song as loud as I've ever sang, because I haven't been to a show like that yet.
Yeah.
I've been to like a Ryman show, Barnes's Ryman show, but I have to be chill there because I'm people know,
right?
You know, like I'm sitting with his face. I can't be nuts.
Right. Yeah.
I can be nuts at Garth Brooks.
Yeah, totally.
Right. And so I think so many of us are looking forward to that at y'all's show too, of just like a release. There's a release we've lost.
Yeah.
And not being at a concert. Do you feel that?
Yeah. I feel almost silly in a way for not being like that. That's kind of the feeling I have. Because I think I always have had that sort of magic about concerts where, you know, like 16, I'm seeing Ben Harper for the first time. Yes, this is amazing. This guy is like, you know, I love what he's wearing and what he's playing, all the stuff, you know. I've always had that, but I think it's just there's some crazy level of appreciation for it. You know, and I think I do think the bands all feel it.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. Because we got to play those Cavern show. We made a live record.
Yes.
And we're looking at each other like we're 8 years old.
Yeah.
You know, we're like, we're just smiling on stage. We just haven't done that in a long time. You kind of get lost in your job a little bit. So really appreciative of it.
The first time I taught back at Cross Point, I hadn't been on stage since February of 2020 because of the tornado. And I taught maybe 2 weeks ago. And the first 4 minutes, I just couldn't stop the tears. I was like, there's real people out here. And I'm teaching live 3 times today. We haven't done that. I mean, it just is, there's an appreciation that I don't know I feel in the audience that the artist on stage is feeling.
Yeah.
You know, where I'm like, from the audience, I don't feel it. But when I was the person on stage,
I thought,
thank God that we get to be the energy of being together again. Yeah. It's so huge. When y'all did Into the Mystery, the new album, you like holed up in a house.
Yeah.
The whole time?
The whole time.
Did you sleep there?
Yeah.
How many weeks?
3 weeks.
And so y'all just didn't get sick of each other?
No, it was a blast. It was unbelievable.
How'd you eat? Who fed you people?
So we did have somebody coming, but because of the COVID thing, they couldn't come in. So they literally like dropped the bags of food that they made on the porch.
Oh my gosh, you're lying. Oh yeah, because it was last September, so it was still real COVID.
Yeah, it was in the thick of it.
Yeah.
So we only had, it was just us, an engineer, we didn't take a producer, and we had a couple of like a really small crew for the video stuff.
And I read that John Foreman tested and could come in.
Right,
he took a COVID test and came in.
Exactly. It was a blast. It's funny, like it would start every morning with this same kind of, we would have coffee together or whatever, and everybody kind of comes out of bed at different times. Uh-huh. You know? But then we would sit in the parlor room we had in the front of this house with piano. And we just play through the song we're going to do that day, which we never do. I don't know why, but you're driving into a studio, you kind of just get to work, you know, everything, doors open, you start. But this was really sweet. It was like, we do that. And then we're like, how do we want to attack the song today? Let's do that. And then around dinner time or so, we would just be like, okay, I think that was enough for today. Like, let's go build a fire and sit around it and hang out and talk. And we just did that. Literally, we could have gone home on the weekends and none of us did. We just stayed.
Wild.
So it's the sweetest time of my, I don't know if it'll ever happen like that again.
Yeah.
But I think that we're probably done with studios.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think the experience was just so life-giving to us.
Yeah.
And it also happened in a time where we weren't around a lot of people, so that was another reason. It's like we could be together. We could quarantine together. But just made for a record that I think sounds like the house we were in. And, you know, I don't even know.
Is the house on the cover? Is that the house?
Yeah.
That's on the cover of the album?
Yeah.
It is. It's a beautiful house.
Thanks.
It looks very cool.
Thanks. We went around and looked at a bunch of different places. And then, of course, you're like, you bang the snare drum in all the living rooms to see what it sounds like.
Right.
You try to find a place that's far enough away from the neighbors.
Yeah.
You're not going to get called. And so we just really lucked out, honestly. The kitchen was literally next door to the living room where we were recording. So that was the biggest problem.
Right.
It's like somebody's, we're trying to do drums in here.
Right.
You know, but other than that, it was just a really sweet time.
How'd you even get that idea? Who thought of that?
I did because I had always wanted, we had done these Mountain House like writing sessions.
Uh-huh.
And I was always like, man, it would be cool to take that sort of feeling into a record.
Right.
Plus there just wasn't pressure on this record. It wasn't like going in there, we thought it was kind of an extension to Out of Body.
Uh-huh.
Like we literally, we're going to call it Out of Mind.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
And we were just like, that'll be, you know, that makes sense or whatever. And we got in there and it just wasn't those types of songs. And I had written almost all the songs by myself in my
For End of
studio.
The Mystery?
Yeah. Yeah.
Bear, what do you not do? Keep going. Okay.
So so the way this record came about was I'd written 75 or so songs in my little studio at home. I just wrote every day, wrote
During
a song,
COVID.
Finished it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would finish the demos out, which I'd never done before, and just send them to the guys like, what do you think? And some of them were cool and some of them weren't cool, you know?
Out of 75.
You're going to get some bad ones in there.
12 of them made them. Yeah, of course.
But I think that was kind of like that sort of intimate thing was a little bit part of the record, you know? So going into the house just made a lot of sense. It's like, okay, I can let these guys in, but not other people, you know, not too many people.
Yeah.
So it's just a real...
Because it felt real personal to you, probably.
It did.
Yeah.
And I think this record is definitely the most personal I've made because it's hard. It's even... I just have an idea, like, when I'm writing for the band of, like, this collective entity, you know? And this was less like that because the songs, I wasn't writing for the band when I was writing them.
Yeah.
I was just writing to write.
Right.
You know? And I think we talked about before, I just have been going through this period of, like, trying to be, like, an 8-year-old with music and just really explore it and let's take out the whole idea of the result with it, you know, just and I did that. So I just get in this room and just literally put incense on and, you know, just play around and start dying laughing in the studio.
Yeah.
And my wife would be like, what's wrong? I'm like, nothing. It's just amazing. Yeah. Something beautiful just happened. And I don't know where it came from. And I just feel So that was that. I feel like that sense with our spirit was where that led to mm-hmm. us going to a house and kind of mm-hmm. keeping it a little bit close to home. But then everything else just happened on accident. I don't think we could really plan it. You know, we canceled a lot of the guests the first day or so.
Sure, you're like, this was going to be a thing.
Yeah, but this is not a thing. Yeah. And, you know, and then we'll see what happens with the movie.
That's what happened with my invite in it, is it got canceled before it even got to me.
That's exactly right.
I understand now I understand now. I was just talking to an author, and I was saying to her, the night before your book comes out, it's still yours, and then the next day it's ours. And everything kind of changes when it goes from, I made it. No one's really seen it except the editor and the agent and all those people.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it's on shelves and now it's not mine anymore. And now I'm actually on to the next thing because now I've given this to you and it's yours.
Yeah.
When it is this personal as the songs in Into the Mystery, which I really like, Out of Body, Into the Mystery. I do like those next to each other. That nice. Is very cool.
Thank you.
When it is this personal and now it's ours, it's been ours for a month.
Yeah.
What's it feel like for you?
It feels really good to have done it. I think probably more than any project ever, I've focused more on the way I feel about it.
Uh-huh. Because you're healthy. You've been working on it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I keep going back to that. I'm just like, I feel like it's the best material, like most sincere thing I've ever done. I feel like that was the goal of it. And that's what, you know, so I don't know. I'm trying to not judge it by obviously how it does or how people interact with it. Whatever. So that makes me really proud of, like, I know that we walked out of there going like, look, it normally takes us 3 years to do something. This took 3 weeks and it's all we got. And it was all the like love and intention we could put into something.
Yeah.
And so I feel really proud about that. And it's probably the only record I can say for sure that I actually listen to of ours.
Really? Yeah. Afterwards or on a regular basis?
Afterwards. Just like, I mean, I still, like, my wife listens to it all the time. I don't mind it. You know what I mean? Partly that's because we did it quicker. Normally it's like after you've lived with something for a year, you're like, I don't ever want to hear this again.
I don't have to. That's right. But I haven't read any of my books in a very long time because you live in them for so long.
Yeah. So I think there's something about that, but I think also it's just like, I know what it was like. Mm-hmm. This was not us trying to like identify ourselves as the biggest rock band in the world. You know, this was us making a statement about what we were going through, and hopefully that helps people along the way. But it was almost as much about us. So I'm really proud of that. So it's interesting to see where people take it and what they, you know.
Yeah, because people have sent us questions. Okay. You know, we told them, I think we did this with you last time too, but we tell them the week before who's coming in, and people are like, I am yours. The lyrics are wrecking me. Rachel says.
Nice.
So why are songs wrecking to people? I don't know that I'd have said that about some of the older albums of y'all's, that songs wreck people.
Yeah. I don't know. I think for me it was like a real period of sort of doubt and concern. And I'm looking at the world and I'm like, I don't like what I see. I don't I can't identify with any of these groups that I'm seeing on TV. And I'm really having a hard time like thinking about how I'm going to explain this to my kids and all that. You know what I mean?
Like,
I don't know, 5 cent term is the deconstruction of things. It felt very much like that for me.
Yeah.
And I would settle on these sweet things. And that I'm Your song, I think, is like that, where I normally probably, if I was going in to write for a record, would not have picked that subject probably. Maybe because it's like a little on the nose for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And so I
was like, oh, this is song 43 out of 75 I'm writing. So this feels real and it feels sweet. And probably it got me to take my guard down a little bit.
Wow.
So I hope that's why. I mean, I think there's such a tricky line between like, I don't want to do things that are on the nose and cheesy and whatever, like, certainly. There's no reason to do more of the same stuff, you know? But you do need to take your guard down a little bit. Doesn't need to be put on all the time, because the things that we found that relate are obviously the things that are at their purest.
Yeah. The thing I want to say to you is I just feel so much respect for you, for how you're writing and how you're building. I mean, we've been friends for a full year now. Happy friendiversary. But I just feel so, I mean, I just think, you are leading the rest of us really well in ways I don't know that you know. So I even as I'm hearing you talk about this, I'm going, yeah, that is how to make stuff out of your heart, but also be a really good leader.
Yeah, thank you. So I appreciate that.
You're doing that. When you go out on tour, singing these songs in front of people, have you been with them enough that it feels – fun to sing them in front of everybody, or is it still going to be like, are the first three shows going to be like, I have to say this in front of everybody?
No, I'm actually really pumped about it, honestly. And it's weird because we didn't tour the last record either.
Right. So I guess it's really touring both of those for the first time.
It was the craziest thing. The longest time we ever spent on a set list.
Yeah.
Thing. You know, it was like, we put up, we've got this huge board to put them all up there. It was 75 songs that we could play that out of the 100 and whatever we've released.
Yeah.
And so getting that down into like, I think we're going to play 32 or three songs.
Oh my gosh, that is so many.
Yeah. Oh, so it's like 10 more than we've ever played. We do.
Okay, so, I was like, are y'all the only thing? Because how are we going to get through 33 songs? No. Just bring a snack, everybody.
But we're supposed to play, you know, 2 hours is kind of like the limit of what we're supposed to play. So it's going to be like an hour and 59 minutes and 50 seconds. So we're excited and yeah, it'll be fun. I think that there's different things about it that I'm excited about. But that, the song, End of the Mystery itself, like we've had a chance to play that a little bit. And it's such a old man steady song.
So good.
Which I love. Just like the feeling of the music and everything. It feels very, we're such an aggressive band most of the time. Uh-huh. You know, it's just nice to have a song where it's like, oh, this just feels like Tom Petty would have written this. You know?
Yeah, totally. It feels so front porch to me.
Yeah.
That one is so relaxing and a very good.
Yeah.
I feel safe here kind of way.
Yeah. So. And so playing that feels like that. Yeah. Just feels like very, I don't know, confident in that way. So it'll be fun.
Who are the openers? Who are coming with y'all?
Switchfoot, which bunch of jerks, as you know.
hate them all.
They're like the nicest people in the world.
So nice.
And then the New Specs.
Oh my gosh. How much do I love them? Uh-huh. They are so fun.
And tidbit is that they are coming out to sing background vocals on our set as well.
Oh, great. So that's awesome.
Be full of it. Yeah.
Hey friends, just interrupting this conversation one more time to tell you about another one of our amazing partners, Brooklinen. It's been a pretty challenging couple of years, hasn't it? We all need to be sure we're prioritizing rest and making time to relax. You know, I ask you this every week on InstaStory. When are you resting? You guys, you deserve it. Fall into comfort and make it a top priority this season. And who is more of an expert in comfort than Brooklinen? It's time to save big and invest in your comfort during Brooklinen's Labor Day sale, which conveniently is happening right now. Brooklinen makes beautiful, high-quality bedding and everything you need to make your house a home. Brooklinen makes bedding for every kind of sleeper, whether you sleep hot or cold or somewhere in the middle, they have got you covered. And their options don't stop there. Is your bedroom all set? Make every day a spa day with a choice selection from their excellent and absorbent towel collection available in a number of colors. Brooklinen has over 80,000 five-star reviews and counting. And there's a reason for that, you guys. I know my review for my Brooklinen sheets is a five-star plus. They are so soft and breathable and are my absolute favorite sheets to sleep on. Freshen up your fall with Brooklinen, the one-stop shop for comfort. Shop the Labor Day savings event right now for savings on all things comfort. And if you can't decide right now, invest in your comfort with promo code That Sounds Fun anytime. That's brooklinen.com, promo code That Sounds Fun. And now back to the rest of my conversation with Bear Reinhart. That is a huge tour, Bear. That's like no joke. Yeah. That's only going to be three buses?
We'll have the three buses.
Y'all are three. So, Need to Breathe has three buses.
That's right.
The tour is going to be...
put Switchfoot in the bays of the bus. It'll be fine.
Right. All of a sudden, I was like, we may need to pause and recount how many people you're taking because I don't think you have enough beds. But you do. You got them all. Man, that's fun to get to travel with friends like that, too.
Yeah. We just had... Switchfoot was just in town. We're working on something that we're not supposed to talk about,
certainly.
I guess. But another song, which is going to be dope. But anyway, it's just such a sweet... I mean, John has been a mentor of mine forever, you know, since I was a kid. Yeah. Just I would watch his interviews and, like, how he was going through it. So really fun to see them. They love making music just as much as they ever have, you know, which is really cool to me. Yeah. I feel like that's kind of where we're at. So, it should be a lot of fun.
I have barely been friends with John, but I know his parents really well, surprisingly.
Okay. Nice.
And when you see where people come from, you go like, oh, this is why John and Tim are amazing, is that their parents are unbelievable.
Yeah.
And to have raised those boys, I mean, they're just
I asked him, I was like, what did your parents do to make you guys so nice like this? He goes, you know, he's like, my dad especially was really good at apologizing.
Wow.
And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a lesson for me. I gotta, so it should be fun. We're gonna have them on stage several times, and we have a song with John on the new record. Yeah, so he's really gonna come out and do it. So,
Man, that makes it. I mean, it almost feels like we're going to one big show.
Yeah, totally. Right? It should feel that way.
Yeah. That's really good. That's, again, very good leadership.
Oh, thanks.
Fine. I'm just learning everything from you. Someday when someone's like, Annie, tell me about your tour, I'm like, well, my mentor, Bear Reinhardt, tells me.
One other thing we're trying to do, which would be cool, that you should consider, which you might have already done, but we're trying to hire right now a goodwill ambassador.
Okay, what does that even mean?
We're just like, we want somebody to go out, you know, before the shows, whose full personality has that, can like just approach anybody.
Uh-huh.
And just help with, like, if kids want to get stuff signed, like bring it back to us, or moving, like when we have space in the pit down front or whatever, we can pick a family, you know, sitting in the back, bring them down. Just that kind of, like, just make the day is like as enjoyable as possible for people that come in. And, so anyways, there's an idea for you.
That's a great idea. Yeah. Why, what has been lacking that you saw from stage that made you want to bring someone like that?
I think it's just tough. Like the further, I mean, this probably happened a long time ago, but back in the day, you know, you play the show, you go out there and sign CDs and meet people, whatever. Yep. There aren't CDs anymore and you don't go out.
Yeah,
you know, you just
can't go
do
out afterwards.
It.
Yeah.
And it's gotten so crazy, not because of COVID, just like we're family people.
Yeah,
it's just really tough. So I feel like there's a disconnect sometimes to like people's experience at the thing. Like I'm always trying to like go out there and it's like, are the seats good or whatever,
you're trying
to like do that, but there's so many different venues and all that.
Right.
So I think just having somebody who's kind of, has our thoughts in mind in terms of like, man, we just want these people, they paid a lot of money for this. They put aside the time, like they ought to just have a great experience. And every time I go to like an NBA game or something, I'm always like, why aren't concerts more like this?
Mm.
You know, I mean, every time there's a timeout, something's awesome is happening. There's like a kiss cam, you know, like it should just be a blast. Like why, you know,
need to have a kiss cam this year?
We don't, not yet. We have discussed the kiss cam. We've discussed numerous ideas for that.
But
how fun would it be if concerts were interactive as well?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So we're working some of that stuff. So I think you'll see some of that stuff on the tour where it's like, you know, we can get questions and things that we can post and all that stuff.
That's one of our friends asked, is there anything special in tour for the tour? And this is it. In store for the tour. This is it.
It's just so, part of why we've always wanted to be bigger, you know, was not the same people that people think. I mean, it just always was like, every time you do a tour, there's limitations of what you can take.
Yes.
You know, if you're an arena, you can, now we can do staging and we can do all these like,
and
we've always been jealous of that. We've always thought like, man, that's such an awesome gift to have the piano just come out of the stage.
It gives people such good memories.
Yeah. So I think for us, that's where this thing has kind of led. It's the biggest tour, most ambitious in that way.
Yeah.
Where it's like, man, we can just do a lot of crazy things and pull it off.
I want you at some point to do that thing that NSYNC used to do where they pop up, you know, like it shoots you up.
Toasters or whatever they call them.
Yeah.
I just need
you to put that in your dream journal.
I would put that in the dream. I don't know if I'm going to do it, but like.
We're too old. We're 40. We can't do that stuff.
Yeah, I know. I was like, that's an ACL waiting to happen.
That's exactly right. Goodwill Ambassador is such a good job because I think one of the problems we have, and problem is not the right word, but I don't have a better one yet. One of the problems we have is that we want people to experience us in a room, like a show, the way they experience us on Instagram or when they're with our music or with our work or here. I mean, now they feel, it's true that there's a friendship with you and the person listening and with me and the person listening.
Sure.
And then if we get in a room and they have a terrible experience, they're like, well, which is the real Annie and which is the real Bear?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. How much were you responsible for and all that? And I think that's always the thing with our deal is just like you freak out about a story of something like that. Somebody has a bad experience or the seats don't work out right or whatever it is. And it's just like it's impossible to cover all of that.
Totally.
But the idea was like we'll put our money where our mouth is. Like bring somebody on the road that can really help us with that and kind of be an extension of us out there.
That's right. That is my dream is that people feel like the same friend they know everywhere else is the friend they see at a live show.
Sure.
And so, Goodwill Ambassador, fine. You're going to pay for me to have a Goodwill Ambassador? That's a salary, man.
We'll see how
that's
this tour goes.
Job.
And then what?
You just need to get one Goodwill Ambassador who works for all of us.
That's right.
And they just go on every tour.
We're putting a posting on online right now. You can go.
And can you imagine how much I'd have loved that job? If I didn't have a job, I would apply right now.
We started talking about ideas of how to do it. And it's just like there's certain personalities that live for that.
Yes.
You know, for that interaction.
Yes.
So they'll be a lot funnier than me and a lot happier. And all that.
So, I'd just be like, guess what? I'm about to make your day even better. Come on down.
Yeah.
What do you want signed? What do you want? Oh, that's brilliant. Okay, I don't remember if I asked you this last time, but it's in my head, so I'm going to ask you this time. When our friends come to the show, when they're following you on socials, when they see you at a restaurant, I don't know, and they think, man, I love Bear and Need to Breathe. What do you want them to pray for you?
Oh, man. That's a great question. I think that my biggest struggle is looking around at what I do and trying to not judge the results of it. Mm-hmm. I think that's my biggest struggle. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's easy to read something and go, oh, especially now for me, things are so personal mm-hmm. where, you know, like I made a solo record called Wilder Woods,
yes,
you know, which I loved and was like totally not meant to be like a Need to Breathe thing. But I'll read a comment and it'll be like, you know, I hope this next Need to Breathe record doesn't sound like Wilder Woods because that sucks or whatever.
Oh, why are people the worst?
And that is more personal even than saying like I hate Need to Breathe.
Right.
So I think for me that's something that like I obviously don't need to pay attention to. But. It seems clear, but sometimes I think that's just the number one thing I would say that gets away in the way of real creativity is kind of being like trying to please people.
Yeah.
We're doing a thing in the show which I won't give away too much, but plays around with that idea where we kind of like read some mean tweets and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it is epic. Yeah. It's going to be hilarious.
Feels so, terrible, but it's very funny to everybody else.
Yeah, it's very funny. Well, it also just takes a sting out of it, yeah, I think. Like, just being like, man, it's so weird when you read something by yourself as opposed to if I was to read something with my wife.
Yeah, of course,
right? Even that, it's just enough perspective to be like, that's crazy. Why would you listen to that?
Yeah.
So, and that's what I need prayer for.
Yeah. Let me also say to you that, unfortunately, the things you are putting your energy to cannot be measured in a lot of ways that we will see right now.
Sure.
You are building such a deeper thing and a stronger thing that you won't get. It's not record sales.
Right,
it's
eternal
stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so let me be the friend who reminds you that you are doing good work that is building in ways that cannot be measured by a tweet or an article.
Yeah.
But we will long from now get to heaven. And I'll be like, Baird, look, see there. See that chart? That chart shows you how what you did really matter, because when you told me to do that, look at the web. And then I did this. And so we'll see it. I just don't know how much we'll see it here.
Sure.
So, okay. Is there anything we didn't talk about that you want to talk about? What did we not cover?
I don't know.
I don't either. I feel like we did it.
Yeah.
We're very good at this. Anytime you want to come back, I just
like hanging out. So.
Same.
And the coffee's good. And I'm just.
Well, thank you. It's bougie K-cups is what we call it. It's not low-level K-cups.
I'll take it.
Bougie. I still want to be friends with your wife. So can you make that happen?
I can make that happen for sure.
I would really
like
for that to happen.
Super friendly.
Yeah. That's what I've heard. All of our mutual friends love her.
And we didn't. You know what we didn't talk about is Ellie Holcomb.
Oh.
So I know you're tight with her and you had her on here. And but she's got a couple on her record. And I got to write a couple. So two of the songs that are on there started
on
from
Canyon.
From this same time.
Yeah, they're of your 70 group you wrote?
Yeah, yeah. So Sweet Ever After and Color
were both
songs that like I just had lying around. And honestly, her producer, Kaysen, is the one. He called me, he's like, and he had worked on Out of Body, he produced that. And he's like, do you have any songs that would work for Ellie? I'm like, I don't know, but I'll send you a few that like.
Yeah.
And so anyway, super sweet moment for me because it's like I just think she's coming into her own in a total crazy way as an artist. And I'm biased, but I think it's her best record. And I feel like she just, she's always had a good voice, but I feel like she's learned how to use it much better recently. And I think that's insane to watch, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm just really proud to have some stuff on there. So.
Yeah. And her album, everything you're saying, I retweet 100%. It is fun to watch people. And I hope the audience, our friends listening, know that it is cool when someone's voice changes. They're actually getting better at what they do. They're training their muscles better.
Yeah.
And so it's not that they're different in a bad way. It's like, man, Ellie is doing the hard work of giving herself more range. And oh God, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
She's unbelievable. Canyon's unbelievable, the whole album.
Yeah, so, I agree.
And I was glad to hear you on that. I was like, friends, everywhere, they're friends. Okay, well, the last question we always ask. Bear Reinhart, because the show is called That Sounds Fun.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what sounds fun to you.
What sounds fun right now is about 15 tattoos.
Yeah,
on tour. I'm super stoked about that. I'm going to come up with a horrible tour tattoo for the
and
whole
make
band.
Everybody get it.
Yes.
Oh, so it's only the band. Are you gonna offer it up to everybody?
We'll offer it up to the crew guys. Yeah, for sure. But they're normally. This is an interesting tidbit, which is like, you know, we used to play a game on the road, me and Ben Rector all the time, and it was like, okay. how much money would it cost you to X? And it was always something really embarrassing. Yes. It might be like, okay, let's say a nude goes on the internet tomorrow of you. Like, and how everybody knows it's you. How much would it be? And always the artists are always like, I don't know, you know, $1 million, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, whatever. It's like some crazy.
Yeah.
And you ask the crew guy, they're always like, I don't know, $50. So it's not, we feel like we're super living on the edge. The crew guys are like, I'll get a tattoo anything. Give me $20 bucks. You know, right, I'm in.
Right. So you're going to design it.
That's the plan, is let's come up with the most ridiculous thing we can and go for that. Yeah.
I mean, I really think I'm getting one this weekend. I'll send it to you. I really think it's happening this weekend. I know that's insane.
I don't know if you thought about a grizzly bear, but that's pretty cool as a tattoo. Just throwing that out there. Bear claws.
Okay. Bear claws like Eve. Remember how Eve has them right on her chest? I mean, she's the coolest.
Yeah, totally.
It's hard
you
to
could get
her
on your neck.
Oh my gosh, what if I got white bear claws going
on?
It
would
my
be
neck?
Incredibly baller if you had neck tattoo.
I mean, what would people say? They'd be like, who hurt her? What is happening to Annie?
My drummer got one. This is the last thing. But my drummer got one. I remember when we were our original drummer, and it was the first tattoo anybody in the band had, and it was this gorgeous thing, and his dad was a Methodist preacher.
Uh-huh.
And he told a story about how, like, coming home, his dad didn't know he got it.
Uh-huh.
And he goes to the front door of his house. His dad shakes his hand. He looks down at his arm. It's on his forearm. Huge. Uh-huh. He goes, son, do you realize what you've done? Now for the rest of your life, you're going to put out your hand and say, here, you deal with this. I was like, wow, that's kind of heavy.
That's really heavy. I mean, my question is, how much would you pay me to get a bear claw on my neck? But it's going to be white because all my tattoos are white.
Mm, a white bear claw on your neck.
Uh-huh. But not big. A little
You know
bear
what?
Claw.
I will pitch in.
I'll
help pay for the tattoo. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put $500 in.
Oh my gosh, I hope this tattoo doesn't cost me $500.
I'm saying, I'll pay. If you'll do that, bear claw on your neck, I'll give $500. I bet I can get Rector, Holcomb.
Oh,
I bet we can all get them and throw $500 in.
They would make me get a full bear on my neck. I do not need that money. Oh, that's funny. The problem is, the one I want is this, I'm sorry to tell you, it's like a Greek word from the Bible. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I know.
It's okay. It's okay.
It's just very, it looks like the ocean, the way the word is shaped.
Yeah.
It's just very beautiful.
I like that.
Maybe I'll do a bear claw.
You
I'll
do
be
you.
Like, buy one, get
you
one.
Do you.
That's
yeah,
what
that's
I'll because I could get a really tiny one and still accomplish the goal. I'm probably going to do it. I think you talked me into doing it.
All right. Let me know.
Okay. You're going to get 15. I'm going to get 1.2.
Okay.
That's my goal.
Sounds good.
Thanks for doing this.
Of course.
I'm
thanks
grateful.
For having me.
I'm always glad when you're here. Oh, y'all, isn't he the best? I love this dude. Man, I love him. I just think he's such a trip to be with every time. And is just one of my favorite guys to sit down and chat with. Be sure to grab your ticket to see Need to Breathe on the Into the Mystery Tour. I mean, just listening to him describe it, don't we all need to be there? Yes. Make sure you grab a copy of their new album, Into the Mystery. And make sure you're following Bear on Instagram. He is Wilder Woods. If you need anything else from me, you know I'm embarrassingly easy to find. Annie F. Downs on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all the places you may need me. That's how you can find me. I think that's it for me today, friends. Go out or stay home and do something that sounds fun to you. I will do the same. And we'll see you back here on Friday as football week continues. Coach Mark Richt on Monday. And on Friday, Kirk Herbstreit from College Game Day. And we talk about those Georgia Bulldogs. We'll see you guys on Friday.